Oh, you gotta hold on tight. It's a new fall season, new attitude, a new look.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to episode 58 of At Odds with Wrestling. Joe and Adam here. I know last week we joked about this in the beginning of a new season, but I'm not renumbering the episodes.
I didn't know if you wanted to go like S2 episode 1 or something like that.
Right. obviously we can go by the date of things, we can go by the episode numbers of things, but you know, we're changing the format up because the wrestling landscape has changed since we recorded last week. We saw it on the horizon, and now we're going forward. Kind of, we're bucking with the trend.
Yeah, I mean, for the longest time, we've been kind of trending more and more towards being like a recap show, you know, kind of like talking about this is what happened on Raw, this is what happened on SmackDown. And I mean, obviously, we're still going to do that.
Yes.
But with the amount of wrestling that's on TV right now, we really got to trim it down and get more concise. And I think that this new format, when we talk about it in a minute, is going to kind of keep me on focus. I know I need something to keep my brain centered. And hopefully you guys like what we have going on. We have all new theme music at the beginning of the show, like right from the early 90s.
Like 95, sure.
Okay, yeah. I mean, I was 15. Some of our listeners might not have been born yet.
right at the lowest point of WWE until maybe this year, but we'll talk about that.
All right.
So, and this is, again, the other part of it is, as we, Adam and I, were discussing of what we were going to do going forward with everything in the world of professional wrestling, the head-to-head with NXT and Dynamite, like, as we were discussing it recording that night was when my buddy DJ contacted me and said, hey, I want to do a Wednesday Night War podcast. Mm-hmm. So any idea that we had of becoming that show was out the window. I didn't want to step on someone else, but, you know, obviously we can't just ignore it, right?
Yeah.
But like I said, the other thing that we're not going to focus on, we're only going to talk about it just this one time, unless there's like some sort of big crazy thing, you know, and there's news stuff that we could talk about, but there's other things that we could talk about as well that kind of riled me up this week. But let's see how the new format goes, because that's where like the things are going to stick in, like the three things that we liked from this past week in wrestling and the three things that we didn't like. Mm-hmm. And I had to pare my list down of dislikes. There was a lot more to dislike this week for me than there was to like. But that's just my typical negative nature. But I wanted to just briefly touch about the ratings that came out of the head-to-head NXT versus Dynamite.
Okay.
So, head-to-head, NXT got killed. AEW, in their debut episode, got a 1.4. 1.4 million viewers to NXT's, I think, 0.89.
Okay.
So that's by like a full 550,000 more people. And I saw lots of people making jokes. My friend Mike made the joke that ironically, hearing Tony Schiavone's voice on AEW caused those 500,000 people that switched up Nitro to see Mankind win the title all switched AEW back on.
They were on a long break. They were flipping through the channels. They just still haven't found the Mankind match.
Now, the other thing in these rating numbers, and there's way more people out there doing way more to analyze these numbers. You know, the long and the short of it, this is at the end of the day, AEW won their first head-to-head matchup. But in the key demo, that 18 to 35 demo, AEW did double what NXT did.
Mm.
I think AEW was like 800,000 and NXT was slightly under 400,000. That's the demo you want. That's the demo that's going to grow with you.
Yeah. I'm interested to see a couple things, obviously, like how much of that audience was just there to check out the first episode and kind of see what they had. Like, how much of a drop off are they going to have after the second week or the third week? And also, like, I think, and we'll talk about this as we go, like NXT put on a really, really good show. And if there's some word of mouth around that, you know, obviously that audience still has a lot of room to grow because they kind of had a soft opening the last couple weeks, you know?
Right. And listen, I tweeted out the other night that I'm not, you know, as much as I've ragged on AEW here in the past, it's mostly because I hate the Young Bucks and I think they're dirtbags. Cody and Brandy seem like the two most dishonest people in the world. But when you say that, like, we joke about Vince as well, but Vince is a horrible person. Like, Vince is a living monster. Triple H and Stephanie, while put up a good front, they're horrible people too. If you are a business person that literally has millions upon billions of dollars to play with and mess around with, you're probably a horrible person.
Yeah. So which comes first? Like, horrible people become millionaires or billionaires, or do by nature of being a billionaire, do you become a horrible person?
Ooh, I think it's a case by case situation.
It's a very esoteric question.
Right, because I think Tony Khan seems like an affable fella.
Give him a couple months.
Right. That's the other thing. This is the first head-to-head matchup, and everyone can make all the excuses they want, or whatever it is. Let's see where this number is 10 weeks from now. Let's see where this number is 13 weeks from now. Or, God forbid, let's see where this number is 83 weeks from now.
Oh. All right, well, I can't do the math, but, you know, that's a lot of podcasts from now.
Right. Well, 83 weeks is, you know what the significance of that
is.
Yes, right?
Nitro beating Raw.
Right.
All right. I pick up a couple things along the last year. Not much, but I picked up a couple things.
No. So we're going to go over our likes, what we liked in wrestling this week and what we didn't like in wrestling this week.
And we limited it to just three things.
Right. Like I said, the likes was a little bit tougher to compile a definitive list of. Because there was stuff that happened this week, and I'm like, is this news? Because it's a new format for us, we got to figure out how things go. I may take a dislike out and move something else in just because I need to yell about something. But yeah. We'll see how the day goes. Like, I want to stick with the list that I stuck with. But yeah. And we're starting off hot with a like.
Okay.
And Adam, in the last 7 days, it finally happened. The thing... that the signal has gone up for me every time that it's come oh so close on a Monday night. And they teased it. And they teased it. This is going all the way back to March, Adam. Mm-hmm. And now here we are 7 months later. This is how you build a storyline. This is how you pay something off. Because Raw started off hot this past week with Brock Lesnar killing Dominic Mysterio. Oh, it was so delightful. It made me so happy. Now, I will put the caveat on there that I wish it was Samoan Joe who's the one who got to do it. But if there's anyone else that would make a brutalization of a teenager look awesome, it's Brock Lesnar.
Yeah. And I do want to say, and we've discussed that this may very well happen on the show, that we would have some overlap. But this actually made one of my dislikes for this week. And it's for the exact reason you just mentioned, that fucking Lesnar stole Samoa Joe's kill.
Samoa
Joe's been stalking that guy for months, just waiting for the right moment to strike. And oh, it would have been so awesome when he finally got his arms around Dominic's throat, and then Joe had to go in there and just fucking glom his win. That pissed me off. Like, I love seeing Dominic get the shit beat out of him, trust me. But that was Samoa Joe's. You know what I'm saying? Like, he did all the build-up, all the anticipation, and fucking Lesnar comes in and just takes all the glory. So that was one of my hates from this week.
Really?
Yeah.
I like that we're having this conversation. But taking that away, mm-hmm. taking away that Brock Lesnar stole Samoa Joe's valor, wasn't it an awesome beating, though?
Oh, you know what? One of the things, and people shit on Lesnar all the time, but one of the things I really like, and he does it all the time, and I don't know why it still pops me, but, like, he leaves the ring, walks halfway up the ramp, you know, Heyman's like, stop, and then he turns around and just keeps going back for seconds and thirds, and every time it just makes it better, even though I still don't forgive him for taking that, but still, I do appreciate the beatdown and the effort behind it.
Right.
I just hope I don't know. Do you think, like, if Joe gets his hands on him at some point, like, it's just not going to feel as good? You know, the seal's already broken.
Right. Like I said, you can never have your first beating. But that's for Dominic, though, his first beating was at the hands of Brock Lesnar. So it's like he gets there. It's like, oh, we're going to work a program with Samoa and Joe. It's like, yeah, you know, I got my ass whipped by Brock Lesnar. Like, you could lay it in a little bit tougher on me, you know?
All right.
So since that was one of your dislikes, I would like to transition to one of my dislikes from this past week.
Okay.
And this was over on the AEW Dynamite show.
Okay.
How terrible everyone on that show's strikes looked. Their punches, their kicks. It really became noticeable when they did the brawl with Kenny getting taken out of the match and him and Ambrose go and they fight out. And again, Ambrose, Jon Moxley, right?
Mm-hmm.
So they go in there fighting through the crowd, right? And go back and watch it. And my dislikes this week are like the nitpickiest of nitpicky things, except for one big one that I'm saving for the end. Okay. But as they're brawling to the back and Ambrose is pulling Kenny along to the next spot, Kenny is hitting Moxley with the daintiest kidney punches that you would ever see in your entire life.
Mm.
And then I went, and then we go back to the thing, and Jericho hits not one, not two of the sloppiest, shittiest, but therefore awesome, Judas effects. We get the slingshot one, where Jericho seemed like he wasn't ready for it because he moves through molasses. And then he goes and does this second one, but like the way he's positioned in the ring and he spins, he less hits whoever he hit with it with his elbow, and more or less it was just like he quick turned around real fast and bumped into them.
Mm-hmm.
You guys are on national TV. You guys got to work on your strikes. You have Dustin Rhodes, who has maybe the best work and punch of anyone currently living. Excuse me, currently living in professional wrestling, and you guys are going to go out there and throw these dainty shots that don't look like they could break an egg.
I think they were saving all their energy for the brutal glass coffee table spot.
Now you bring up the glass coffee table thing. And listen, the only glass coffee table I want to hear about in professional wrestling is the one that involves Jimmy Valiant and the Rock and Roll Express. I'll tell you that story off the air, or somebody else will smarten you up to it later. While it was cool that they incorporated, glass into an angle on national television, as someone who is a deathmatch ghoul in training, I've seen what it really looks like when glass breaks. Mm-hmm. And that was working glass. That wasn't shooting glass.
Okay, fair enough. I love the VIP area with the totally not staged plants. That was cool too. But if I can kind of feed off of your comments about people working a little loose and the strikes looking bad, one of my biggest hates from this past week, and I'm gonna get some flack for this. I'm known for having bad takes. So I want to be very careful in my wording on this, but the Riho versus Nyla Rose match. So I had a big problem with a lot of things in this match. And it starts with the fact that number one, we're obviously dealing with the David versus Goliath angle, you know, as far as like, we have a little 100-pound girl going against a beast in Nyla Rose. You know, they sell her as being like this unstoppable monster. The commentators are going on and on about that dynamic, but Riho's hitting Nyla Rose in slow motion. Like, she's not doing any kind of like fast strikes, any kind of like duck and move, just very pedestrian like offense that she would do against somebody who's the same size as her. And it's like, Nyla Rose is a big girl. You can hit her and have it look convincing and have it not actually be like a stiff hit. And at the same time, Nyla Rose, you know, you would think, okay, if Riho's not laying in the attack and move offense, Nyla Rose should be plowing through Riho. And Riho should be selling and bumping all over the place. And aside from the one spot where I think Riho jumped off, like out to the outside of the ring and Nyla caught her, there was one spot that was like a power spot. Aside from that, like, it was a pretty like straight, like they wrestled it like they were two evenly matched people. Even when Riho would pin Nyla Rose, you know, you get to the one, the two, Nyla Rose would just gently lift up her shoulder. You know, like, you're three times the size of this girl, do the spot where you power out and kind of throw her a few feet into the air. Like, it just seemed like you're supposed to be working a style of a match where it's like, again, you have no chance. The little girl has no chance against the big girl. And it just seemed like they didn't get the memo for it. And like, when you're comparing it to the women's matches that were on NXT, Like, I thought there was no comparison. I was really hoping for more because I'm rooting for the two of them. And I root for Nyla Rose because I know a lot of people shit on her for reasons that really they shouldn't be shitting on her for. So I was hoping that they'd have a banger of a match. And it's just that they didn't get the memo that, hey, there's this giant size difference between the two of you. So you should probably play that out.
I'm glad you put this in here because this is something that it was on my list of dislikes.
Okay.
But it got bumped for, you know, other things, so I'm glad I could talk about it. We did not rehearse this beforehand. I purposely tried to keep our things separately, and that's how it's going to go going forward with this. So this whole segment, I think it went through a commercial break, was the Kenny Omega offer friends part of the show.
Mm-hmm.
Oh boy, let's see when this would have been. 3 months ago, I was told that Kenny, who is in charge of the women's division, there's no secret about that. And I'm almost certain that Billy Gunn is typically the agent for most of the women's stuff. I'm not sure if he was specifically the agent for this match. You bring up a lot of good points, but this was a very poorly agented match. But Kenny had been pushing for Riho to be the first champion.
Mm-hmm.
Other executive vice president, maybe a brand officer of some kind,
mm-hmm.
was pushing against Riho, saying that a Japanese person would not get over with an American audience, the audience that they were trying to go for, millions of other excuses. But the problem was, who she was offering up was anyone but Riho.
Mm-hmm.
Wasn't a clear-cut case for anyone else. So Kenny's girl, and again, I want to state, I don't know if they are boyfriend and girlfriend, but I do know that they are, you know, friends, and I know that they are doing an appearance at a Windsor, Ontario comic book convention this weekend together that Tim Curry is also at. So Riho wins. She is then interviewed post-match by Michael Nakazawa, Kenny's other really good friend.
Mm-hmm.
Nyla gets to lay the both of them out, and then Kenny gets to come in and defend the honor of the new champion who's laid out on her back.
Yeah, great way to start, right?
Yeah, that's a real bad foot to set everything off of. And again, I'm glad Kenny got all of his friends on the show. But when I say sometimes I know too much.
Yeah.
And that was one of those times where I'm like, I know too much shit about this. And this reeks of, like, there's nepotism, which is like Dustin Rhodes gets a job and that's good for everybody. Mm-hmm. And then there's nepotism where Kenny just gets all of his friends to be in one segment, and then he gets to be the hero to come out and save them all.
It's cronyism, I think.
Cronyism, there you go.
Yes. But going back to what you were saying about, like, a Japanese wrestler not being, you know, star caliber to carry a brand. I mean, look at Asuka 2 years ago. You know, look at Io Shirai right now. Like, you put, you know, Io Shirai as a women's champion right now, like, at least an NXT audience would go nuts. So, you know, it's just Riho, just there's nothing about her. If you're that small, you should be like lightning quick, hitting people off of top ropes, just like zip zap around the ring. And yeah, it was just kind of underwhelming. Plus, you had silent Britt Baker at commentary as well, auditioning for the next Kevin Smith movie.
Hey, you know what? That's a good way for me to transition to one of the things I liked this weekend.
Oh, look at how this is working out,
Joe. Or this last week. So, it's the big debuts, it's the things against each other, you know, Dynamite versus NXT. You're going to bring out the stars, you're going to bring out the celebrities and have them sit in the front row. And you've got Jane and Silent Bob on NXT. And then I guess you have the World Wrestling Entertainment equivalent of that on NXT. Or Jane and Silent Bob are on Dynamite. And on NXT, you have Hall and Nash. That alone makes NXT the winner for me. Kevin Nash above all else.
Yeah, I mean, obviously we're Nash marks in this on this podcast, and like 19-year-old Adam would have sided with the Jay and Silent Bob side, but yeah, I kind of agree with you on that one. That the NXT definitely had the win there. I'll go ahead and do. Speaking of NXT, one of my likes was the banger that Matt Riddle and Adam Cole had to start off NXT this week.
Yeah, yeah. Awesome.
I thought just again, I have come around on Matt Riddle. I know one of my earlier bad takes was that I didn't get him. I don't think I gave him enough chance. But, like, he is fucking awesome in the ring, and I'm an Adam Cole mark. And then you add to the fact that you had the surprise brand switch of Finn Balor. A lot of people asked me earlier today if it was a demotion, as I tried to explain to them that NXT is now an equal, if not superior, brand to Raw and SmackDown. But Finn Balor made his debut to challenge Adam Cole, I guess implied. But like, I really like that match. I think that if you're going to start off going head-to-head with AEW's first show, those are probably two of the best guys you could have put out there, and they really delivered on a strong match.
Yeah, and you know, you mentioned that, and I think in-ring action, the bell-to-bell stuff, NXT was better. I enjoyed it more, especially the women's matches. You know, I'm a big Shayna Baszler fan. I'm a big Candice LeRae fan. I'm a big Io Shirai fan. I like Mia Yim. So, you know, weeks and weeks ago, looking at the NXT roster and looking at the AEW roster, I thought that if AEW is going to attempt to prop up their women's division, as Tony Khan and Cody and everybody else has said in all these different interviews of saying that they want their women's division to be like how the cruiserweight division was in WCW, NXT, in ring-wise, is going to eat their lunch.
Yeah. They basically said, oh, you're going to have a women's title match? Hold my beer. You know?
So, speaking of the women in AEW, that's going to bring me to my don't likes or dislikes from this past week.
Okay.
And this pretty much was at the top of my list. And this is maybe the one that I feel the strongest about, even though it's not going to be the last one that we talk about. So opening match, it's Cody versus Sammy Guevara. I didn't know prior to this that Sammy Guevara was supposed to be a heel, and now he's part of Jericho's Judas Effect faction, which will come to, you know, I don't know, maybe it'll come up later, maybe it won't. But there's a part in the match where Sammy gets thrown to the outside, Cody's going to do a dive, Sammy pulls Brandy in front of her, Brandy eats shit on a dive. Cody, who is a big dude, crushes Brandy on this dive. And she's fine. She just gets back up. The doctor checks her out. Like, she doesn't get carried to the back by, like, a guy who maybe has 150 pounds on her and has a foot and a half on her. Like, comes jettisoning out of the ring at her, crushes her up against the guardrail. And she's like, no, I'm okay. I'm fine.
Yeah, I mean, now that you mention it, like, this would have been a perfect opportunity to have, you know, Cody carries her to the back, gets counted out. You have Sammy go over, you know, as the winner of the first match in AEW issue. What's
or
that?
Even further still, you can have the announcers even say, what does Cody do? He himself said, if I lose this match, Sammy Guevara gets my title shot. Is he going to choose his wife over the title shot? You could do, there was a million different things that you could have done with this other than having your wife, Brandy, one of the executive vice presidents of the company, no sell a dive from a male wrestler.
And she hit pretty stiff, too. It's not like it was like, oh, we're kayfabing here. She hit the railing pretty hard. It looked like. You could have had MJF, who was like associated with Cody on the last pay-per-view, come out. You know, he carries Cody back, and you're doing like a Hulk and Elizabeth and Macho Man gimmick.
There's a million things they could have done, except for what they did.
Yeah, just completely just shook it off. All right. Well, I will say that Brandy, her outfit was definitely a me special.
If I had a fancy soundboard like Final Wrestling Place does, I would throw in some sort of inappropriate sound or whistle or cat call or wolf noise or something.
They're really good at that. They need to knock it off. Stop showing us up.
That's right.
Well, I'm going to go ahead and just stick with AEW and talk about one of my likes. Speaking of Final Wrestling Place, I'll say this is in the good place, but that'll be the last time I steal that gimmick. And that is Pac versus Adam Page. Mm-hmm. I had in the very early days of this podcast, I expounded the virtues of Adam Page. I said I liked his work. I liked his work in Ring of Honor. I liked his work in New Japan. And then when we got to All In and all the early AEW shows, I kind of looked like a fool because he really wasn't doing much in the ring. And I don't know if it was just the stage of the first Dynamite show or Pac being in there, and Pac's fantastic. But like, Adam Page probably had his best AEW match. And like I said, the Pac was great as well. I thought that match was probably my favorite like match in the entire show.
I'll agree. I didn't like the finish.
Wow.
The finish where, and again, I bring this up because, you know, I'm doing my due diligence with all this sort of stuff, where Tony Khan did this big interview with Wade Keller where he addressed a lot of the stuff from the previous shows, problems that he had, things that he wants to make sure happen going forward. And one of the things, of course, is the win-loss record. And now Adam Page is, I think, like 1-2 or 1-3 or whatever it is in matches. So he's already being positioned not to be a contender for the title. So the finish of the match is they do the waist lock standing switch. They go forward. They bump into the ref, who is an old, feeble Earl Hebner, who's got to be in at least in his 70s, right? For the finish of the match, when Pac locks on his submission hold, Earl Hebner doesn't even get down like on the ground to see if Adam Page is submitting. Adam Page doesn't tap. Earl Hebner just kind of bends over a little bit and says, yeah, he gave up. Because he's at the Bronco Lubick stage of his career where he's not getting off his feet if he doesn't have to. But the prelude to the finish is they do the waist lock, they do the standing switch, they go forward, they bump into Earl Hebner and sandwich him into the ropes. Tony Khan says, I don't want ref bumps or meaningless disqualifications or things like that in my matches. I'm not saying that Earl Hebner should have disqualified him. For doing that, but Earl Hebner should have at least sold for a few seconds by being crashed into the ropes by two full-grown men instead of everyone just standing there for like a two Mississippi so that Pac can make sure that everyone's in position so he can hit the low blow. Little nitpick about how they got to the finish, but I thought overall it was a really good match.
Would you say that, like, I know you've never been, like, committal one way or another about Adam Page, but would you say that was better than the most recent matches you've seen that he's been involved in?
He comes to the ring, I feel as though he just looks like a guy. He has no presence. But I thought he looked really good in the match. I said he and Pac, like I said, it was probably the best match on the AEW side of the night.
Okay. What else you got?
I'm going to go to my last like from the weekend, and this is the same like that I think pretty much everyone in the world had. Tony Schiavone. I mentioned at the top of the show, Tony Schiavone was awesome. Tony Schiavone was so good, he made Jim Ross awesome just by commentating with him. I don't know, I'm still, you know, I know a lot of people like Excalibur, but I think there's something about the crescendo. Excalibur is not more Rinaldo level bad commentator for me, but there's just something about him that I don't like. Tony Schiavone was awesome. Tony Schiavone was someone who in the last 2 years in WCW had his love of professional wrestling beaten out of him. He got back into the world of professional wrestling about a year and a half, 2 years ago at the behest of Conrad Thompson. Tony had been done with wrestling for 15 years. He wanted nothing to do with it. He was doing commentary or play-by-play or whatever you call it for like double-A baseball. He was working a day job at Starbucks. Conrad convinced him the money that could be made. And I know, Adam, you don't listen to a lot of podcasts. And I may not be as sold on the current status of what they do on the Tony and Conrad podcast, what happened when. But when they would watch like ECW shows from the 90s, like they watched Barely Legal. If there's an episode of What Happened When with Tony Schiavone and Conrad Thompson to listen to, it's the Barely Legal episode. They do a watch along with it, but you don't even have to watch Barely Legal with it. You just have to listen to Tony enjoying wrestling. Like I say at the end of this podcast, enjoy some wrestling, everybody. Like you could hear over the course of these podcasts when they're watching not WCW stuff from the era that Tony was in toward those last 2 years, that was just like the dregs and just beat the love of wrestling out of a man who grew up a wrestling fan, and like marking out for ECW stuff, marking out for like Hogan Bossman from 1988, which he goes on record and says is his favorite series of matches that he ever had a chance to call. And the love that Tony Schiavone had as a child, as a teenager, as a 20-something, as a 30-something, was reignited by this podcast, and it showed so much. And there was actually a bidding war between WWE and AEW for Tony Schiavone. This is a more crucial hire for AEW than Jon Moxley, than Chris Jericho, than anything else. because the voice of your company means more than you will ever know. Mm-hmm. WWE has made us not care what the voice of their product sounds like for the last 20 years. But if AEW can make Tony Schiavone the voice of their product, and Tony Schiavone, they don't beat the love of wrestling out of him like WCW did, that's going to be the real tide turner for AEW.
Mm-hmm. We've talked earlier, a long time ago on this podcast, about like during the original Monday Night Wars that like I was firmly on Team WWF at the time.
Yeah.
So like I feel like I didn't have an appreciation of Tony Schiavone until like this last show on AEW, where I was like, holy shit, like wrestling and this guy on commentary are like peanut butter and jelly. You know, it just felt right. It was like I didn't realize that I missed it. And it's so much so that, like, I feel like listening to him call a match just felt more right than Jim Ross. You know,
yes.
At least 2019 Jim Ross.
Right. And listen, hey, man, I rag on Jim Ross a bunch. I really do. But when he is counterproductive to your own product, like, he's counterproductive to the product when he does his podcast. And he tries, and you could hear him really fighting through gritted teeth saying he likes some of that stuff.
Mm.
But when he shits on the product while it's going on, like, whether you're paying attention to it or not, it affects you. If the person who is the narration of the product continually calls people by the wrong names or says something is stupid or questions the integrity of the referees, if he's the heel commentator, that's fine. But when he's a babyface commentator and he's supposed to be the one who's telling the narrative of what you're watching and he's bearing what you're seeing, eventually you're going to start picking that stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
And Tony Schiavone doesn't do that. Tony Schiavone is great.
Yeah. And you were saying, like, you know, Tony Schiavone has loved wrestling, you know, since he was a teenager. And speaking of loving teenagers, one of my hates this week, Jerry Lawler on commentary.
Oh!
Like, talk about somebody, you just talked about Jim Ross seeming like, you know, he's past his expiration date. Jerry Lawler was just bad. Like, I have nothing against Vic Joseph and was Dio Madden's the other guy's name?
Yes.
Yeah, I've never heard of Madden call commentary before. I had no problem with them. And like you said, WWE doesn't train you to expect a certain voice. I've come to expect, you know, a level of competence, a level of like not making like woohoo jokes like in 2019. It was just god awful. Like, there were so many times where I was just like, I wanted to watch with like the volume off, you know? So like Jerry Lawler, I get it. It's a, hey, we need to find some way to justify paying your salary. But put him on the kickoff shows on for pay-per-views. Have him be one of the nine intertwined, changing people with have him like talk to Sam Roberts. I don't want him on Monday Night Raw doing borderline, like almost doing puppy jokes, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Well, so out of place.
I can shed a little light on that. Again, doing my due diligence and reading and listening and watching everything that I can to prepare for the big head-to-head and the big season premieres of all of these things. So Paul Heyman is more or less in charge of Raw, but at the end of the day, it's Vince's final say. So Paul wanted to put Vic Joseph and Dio Madden as the commentary team on Raw. Two technically unproven commodities. I think Dio Madden has done an episode of 205 Live and maybe 3 weeks of Main Event.
Okay.
And Vic Joseph has done spots here and there. When going over the format, and this was from an interview with Jerry Lawler about him being back on Raw, he was told that the reason he was brought back was when Vince saw two unfamiliar faces, he said, that won't do. We got to get someone that people know. Call the king. And that's as simple as it was.
Hmm.
I don't think Jerry Lawler is going to be on Raw for a long time. I think maybe you might see him gone before the end of the year. And I'm only saying that is they might cycle someone else out. Paul might be able to convince Vince to just go down to the two-man booth, or Lawler may just get sick of it.
Mm-hmm. Well, can't come soon enough, because that really took a lot, like a lot of the enjoyment for the show. And I get we're in a unique time where like Raw is almost going to be the B show for a little bit, you know?
Yeah.
And like, I just don't want it to have the B show feel of like an unlistenable commentary track.
Mm-hmm. All right. So my last didn't like for the week is Raw. I, under protest, will allow one beta cuck angle on my main event Raw show. But now when you have two cuck angles going on simultaneously on what is technically your A show, that I won't sit still for. Who's in charge around here?
That's one cuck too far, right?
Exactly. I'm not inspired by a Bobby Lashley versus Rusev feud.
Mm-hmm.
I think Lashley's kind of bland. But if the angle is that Lana, who is Rusev's wife, is with Bobby Lashley, and them having an egregious makeout session to introduce the Fiend to close out Raw...
Mm-hmm.
And the fact that it ties into the other cuck angle where Maria Kanellis said that Rusev was the real father of her child, not Mike Kanellis, the OG cuck on main, on Raw.
That's a t-shirt.
Right, the OG cuck. Now, just so you know, even though we're talking about cuck a bunch here, I'm not putting cuck in the show title. I don't need that sort of attention on this show. I get you're trying to do something different. I get you're trying to be edgy, right?
Mm.
I don't know, man. This just seems too much. Like I said, one I'll give you, but now that you're doing multiple cucking angles, I don't know, man. You know, like, you lost 18 to 35-year-old people. I don't know, like, they might be watching... The cuck porn out there, but I don't think they want the cuck porn filtering into their wrestling, just like I'm sure they don't want the wrestling filtering into their cuck porn. And maybe they do. Maybe I'm wrong, but the numbers this week certainly do not tell that tale.
Yeah, and I feel like you just need to go up to Paul Heyman right now and just be like, who hurt you? And just give him a big hug.
Is it Paul? Is it Vince? Imagine those sessions of Paul pitching the cuck angles to Vince and having to explain and give examples of cucking to Vince. Like, imagine how just disgusting that whole scene must be.
And Vince, like, loving it and being like, that's great. Give me more.
Well, that's a story. If you remember, I don't know if you were watching WWE during the time when Paul Burchill went from being the pirate to being a creep with Katie Lee Burchill, his fake sister, but his sister on TV, and they were kind of insinuating that they might be together. The reason that happened was, on a flight, Vince saw the movie Cruel Intentions for the first time. A movie that at that time was at least 7 years old. Vince saw Cruel Intentions and said, goddamn, pal, we need to do that on our shows. That's how easily influenceable Vince is.
All right, and I guess that brings me to wrap it all up with my final like, and this is not like a hot take at all, but the main event of NXT this past week, Street Profits versus Colin O'Reilly. Huge Undisputed Era mark that I am. This is one of the first few matches that the Street Profits were in that I gave a chance and watched all the way through. Those guys are just end-to-end stars. I know I'm going to use a very bad analogy here and say that, like, not since, like, Enzo and Cass in NXT, you know, have there been guys that are just, like, this over with the crowd as a tag team at least? And hopefully they don't have the same fate as Enzo and Cass, but I like that match. It was a great match. I like the fact the Undisputed Era is still dominating and they have all the belts that, you just made a t-shirt, so you can't end that right now. But, and obviously the very, very end of the match, we had the return of Tommaso Ciampa, which popped me huge because I'm a big Ciampa mark, and I'm glad to see that he's at least close to being ready, coming back from his neck surgery.
You said Cole and O'Reilly. I think it's Fish and O'Reilly.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, I've
read that's okay.
Fish and O'Reilly.
Yeah, I agree. I think them actively putting Bianca Belair with the Street Profits officially is going to make them a main event, main roster act. And again, yes, I know there's no main roster. NXT is an equal but separate third brand, yada, yada, yada. Now that they've officially closed their book in NXT, you bring the Street Profits with Bianca to the main roster, and you get them mixing up with teams like the Usos. You get Naomi in there. You know, that's like, that's a way to get everybody over. Like, absolutely. Obviously, as long as Jimmy can stay sober.
Yeah.
But hopefully this means them doing the act on Raw or SmackDown.
Absolutely. Well, Joe, you know what? For an inaugural rebranding of the show and trying out the Just Three Things method, I think that went pretty well.
Not right.
To pat us on the back.
Well, speaking of patting people on the back, a lot of people were calling for me to come forward and do this. Mm-hmm. And privately, I was being no-sold by people about this. But during the Prestige Wrestling event late Saturday night on independentwrestling.tv, they made the official announcement that I forced them to make that all three nights of King of Trios will be streaming on both Chikaratopia and independentwrestling.tv. Nights 1 and 2 will be live. Night 3 will stream immediately after the Sup Graps show that will be live. Again, that's going to be a busy wrestling weekend now, and I think that puts Night 3 of King of Trios head-to-head with Hell in the Cell. But hey, and the other thing I just want to mention is I know, you know, we'll have to kind of work this a little bit more newsy, but the news cycle has happened so quick in the last 7 days, Adam.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't even discuss all those CM Punk rumors.
Yeah, I thought we'd leave that to another show that has a CM Punk mark on it. But if you want to, what do you got? I mean, I know he's doing what, studio testing for the SmackDown pre-show. Is that what I hear?
He was one of many people that Fox specifically wanted to be the co-host of their pre or post SmackDown show. Mm-hmm. And as this goes into your ears, we might know the answer. We might not. But Punk going back to WWE and this coming hot off the heels of him settling his lawsuit with Colt Cabana and then spending his wee hours of Thursday into Friday fighting with people on Twitter about how Colt is such a scumbag and how he's such a nice guy. And I'm like, oh, it's so good that Punk is so bitter. You know what I mean? Like, I've got that bitterness in me and I still don't like Punk, but the fact that he's such a miserable malcontent and he's tucking his tail between his legs and probably raking Vince over the coals for millions upon millions of dollars. And he had given that ESPN interview because I know you might be surprised by this. When it first came out, I didn't bend over backwards to go read an interview that CM Punk did on purpose. But when all this news came out, I'm like, let me go back and read that interview of why AEW, like he's not taking the AEW offer. I don't know if you read that ESPN interview.
No.
But Punk comes off, and I know you'll be surprised by this, bitter and salty.
What?
That in the lead up to the All Out event, both publicly and during episodes of Being the Elite, they were heavily teasing that CM Punk was going to be involved. And Punk was pissed off that they were using his name to garner interest in their product when, quote, outside of a text message or two, no formal offer had ever been made to me. Then to which Cody comes out and says, no, a formal offer was made, so on and so forth, but this is from Mr. Contract Tamperer himself. So I believe Punk in this one.
Whoa.
I'm starting to maybe not become a fan of Punk the wrestler or Punk the comic book artist or Punk the shitty horror movie star or Punk the mixed martial artist, but I'm becoming a fan of CM Punk, the greedy son of a bitch.
Your kindred spirits.
That's right. Joe, I say get all the goddamn money you can, get on the goddamn Saudi blood oil money show, rake in as much goddamn money off Vince as you can.
And you know what? It's funny you should mention this, Joe, because I had a topic here that I just really, really wanted to just sneak in here somewhere. And this is a perfect spot as far as, you know, kind of changing your stripes. And you're, you know, one of the world's biggest Phil from Chicago haters.
That's
and
true.
And the cracks are starting to show on that hate. And I just want to say that for myself, you know, I'm trying to be a less negative person, you know, in my old age. I'm like, let's not let grudges, you know, take control. And I was thinking to myself, I just discovered somebody else that I really hate. And I'll tell you in a second who that is. But like, I already have so much hate in my heart for Randy Orton. And I've decided that I'm not going to say fuck Randy Orton anymore. Randy Orton is getting a neutral out of me. I don't love him. I don't hate him. But you know what, Joe? Fuck Jake Hager. Fuck him up, racist, transphobe, homophobe, fucking ass. Fuck Jake Hager. And that's the new fuck Randy Orton. So I'm just throwing that out there.
While I do not feel like Jake Hager, I'm not, you know, listen, he had good matches in World Wrestling Entertainment.
Mm-hmm.
He is a horrible person.
Yep.
And if they feel as though Jake Hager is going to bring any sort of viewer, Jake Hager, Jack Swagger, whatever the fuck you want to call him, if AEW feels he is going to move the needle in any discernible way, at a hockey playoff game this evening, they put up on the big screen a celebrity in the crowd.
Mm-hmm.
And I sent you the tweet to it. If you want to check the messages here on the old Skype on my phone.
Oh, hold on. Yep. Let's see. I don't know how Skype works.
Okay. Oh my goodness.
Oh wait, I see the pop-up thing. Open conversation. Oh, there it is. Okay.
So click on that to open that up.
Yeah.
So you can see what they put up on the big screen and on TV of the WWE superstar that was in the crowd tonight at the hockey playoff game.
Oh, I believe that's Chris Jericho, AEW World Heavyweight Champion.
And he's sitting right next to a guy wearing an AEW shirt?
Yep, that's definitely the case.
They got a long way to go, guys.
Yeah. Well, it's just like every gelatin-based food product is Jell-O, so every like sports entertainment / wrestling is WWE, according to like the general public.
Yep.
But, so I just want to let you know, Joe, that I'm a changed man. Randy Orton, you're getting a pass until you do something horrible. Jake Hager's in my crosshairs.
Being that Randy Orton has never done anything horrible,
mm.
Unless you count horrible as when he becomes the NXT champion, which that won't be horrible. That'll be awesome.
Mm-hmm. And before we wrap up, go to our next thing, I just want to ask you, we did broad strokes over AEW versus NXT, but I know you're a man who likes to keep copious notes and you have all your notebooks and everything like that. So I'd like you to make a little ledger. And I want to ask you, just put down here week one, you could put the date or whatever. I'm going to ask you, which show did you like as an overall, like I enjoyed blank or I enjoyed blank.
I enjoyed NXT more this week.
All right. Same here. So put us both down for NXT and, we'll try to remember to do this every week if we can, and just kind of keep score, see if there's a trend.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying that AEW is bad.
No, I don't know.
There's a lot to work on. I have it on good authority that next week Joey Janela will be wrestling on TV. So there's that. Did you see the Janela skit with Jay and Silent Bob?
I did. And I also saw that... that Orange Cassidy was ringside for a dark match on AEW.
I think it was best friends.
I
think he actually wrestled. It was maybe like all three best friends against all three SCU.
No, it was two heel tag teams against the best friends and like Luchasaurus. And it was like two tag teams on each side with Orange Cassidy at ringside. So at least that's what the report said. I obviously was not there.
Yeah. I did see Orange Cassidy giving the fist bump to the little kid in the front row dressed as Orange Cassidy.
Okay.
Yeah. So, hey, man. But like I said, I know Janela's wrestling next week. They haven't announced anything else for next week, but there's still a lot of time in between now and then for them to do so.
Mm-hmm. But you know what time it is, Joe? It's time for a little game we like to play every so often.
That's right. It's time for...
It's Sami Zayn skanking down to the ring. It's Kofi Kingston doing it.
as you heard, David Kincannon, behind the scenes guru, technical sound guy working on all sorts of stuff for us. Even if he submits a new version of the Does Joe Know the Card theme, I don't think I'll ever swap it out, just so he knows.
Yeah, I mean, I honestly think Dave Kincannon does more for this podcast than I do on a weekly or monthly basis. So thank you, as always, for everything that you do. But, Joe, I have some bad news regarding Does Joe Know the Card?
Well, this weekend is Hell in the Cell. Yes. One of the it's Hell in a Cell. I was watching a lot of, like, this week is the anniversary of the Bad Blood pay-per-view, which was the first Hell in a Cell. Mm-hmm. And that was back when they called it Hell in the Cell as opposed to Hell in a Cell.
Okay.
So I keep saying Hell in the as opposed to Hell in a Hell in a Cell.
You care too much about the details, man.
Listen, I posted something today where I was just kind of like copy and pasting something. It was for the soon to be named network thing, right? It was the Puzzle Warrior 3's episode. Okay. And their title was it had Spider-Man in the title, and they didn't capitalize the M in Spider-Man, and I couldn't post it without correcting that to a capital M.
They were probably doing that to troll you.
Nope, definitely not.
No. All right. One of my favorite Nick Spencer gags in the most recent run of Spider-Man, not to get off topic, is when in a word balloon, somebody referred to Spider-Man without the dash, and he was like, I know you're saying it wrong. Like, I could just tell. But here's the thing, Joe. I went to the most trusted source in match listings, Wikipedia.com, and I looked at the match listing for Hell in a Cell, and I was like, okay, something's got to be wrong here. Because it only lists three matches. So then I was like, okay, let me Google it. And I'm like, okay, some like CBS Sports has three matches listed. Okay, they got to be wrong. I'm going to WWE.com. And even they still have three matches listed with the rest of the matches, I guess, contingent on what happens on SmackDown on Friday.
I guess.
Yeah.
So here's the thing. I don't know if I know all three matches. I know it's Seth and the Fiend in the cage.
Yeah, and really, that's all we're going. That's why we're there. You know?
Right, it's a one match show.
Yeah.
Not to say that Becky against Sasha in the cage won't be great as well. Mm-hmm. But I don't know what the third match is. Oh no, wait. No, okay, that's right, because Shane and Kevin Owens in the ladder matches on SmackDown this week. I thought that was the pay per view. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the third match is.
What's the, if you had to imagine, what's the hottest angle going on SmackDown right now with involving a buddy of yours?
Oh, the double cuck angle. Oh, no, wait. are they doing Broski and Hawkins explode or no?
No.
Is Roman and Daniel Bryan against Rowan and Harper official for the pay-per-view?
It's official according to WWE.com. So
now, see, that I thought was on SmackDown as well. So that's what muddied the issue for me. Like I knew those. Like I knew the Kevin Owens Shane McMahon match existed. I knew that tag match existed. I just wasn't sure, like, if they were both pay per view, both SmackDown, one or one. Oh, that's awesome that that's on the pay per view. Cool, cool.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, there's time for them to screw it up or hotshot it to Friday. But as of right now, it is one of the three matches listed on the Does Joe Know the Card Hell in the Cell.
Cool.
So, very short game this time around. Hopefully, I don't know, man, with us recording on, Thursday nights going into Friday and Friday night SmackDown still pending every week, that might affect the future of this game. We might have to tweak it and, you know, figure something out. Yeah, obviously, we'll still have AEW shows will be the old formula and NXT takeovers and whatnot, but...
Right.
So, we'll see.
So, just, we mentioned it earlier, of course, that Chikara is officially streaming on independentwrestling.tv this weekend. If you're a new subscriber, you could use our promo code, @odds, get 20 days free, and when you stick around, we get a kickback of whatever it is that you pay for your monthly fee, and it's worth it, of course. I think it's worth it just for King of Trios alone, beyond Uncharted Territory restarted as we're recording this. You know, we moved to Thursdays and they moved to Thursdays, but then like everybody else moved to recording on Thursdays anyway, because of the AEW NXT stuff. Talking about King of Trios, right? And King of Trios is like Chikara's big event of the year. It's 3 days. they're doing like an afternoon brunch. Sadly, I'm not going to be able to attend any of these live. And for me to attempt to run down the card and everything else would be a fool's errand. I would recommend you head over to PW Ponderings as friend of the show, Kevin Ford and Justin, who I forget his last name. They do an extensive rundown of where we've been, what we're leading up to, matchups, predictions, everything about the entire weekend. And I'll include a link to the episode of their show in our show notes. Kevin always does a really good job with his Chikara stuff. But I have three predictions I want to make about the weekend for Chikara, right?
Okay.
For King of Trios. And again, I'm not going to say like, oh, this team is going to win or this surprise debut or whatever it is. So I'm going to start with like just things that I think are going to happen. Okay. Mm-hmm. Here are my three things, and we'll revisit this a week from now to see if they happen. Number one thing that I think is going to happen is during the course of the tournament, the Colony and the main Crucible team, which is Princess Kimberly, Ophidian, and Lance Steel, are going to meet up, and Green Ant is going to beat Ophidian. Whether it be by submission or by pinfall, that is not a first-round matchup, but at some point during the weekend, that is going to be a thing that happens. Green Ant is going to beat Ophidian to eliminate that Crucible team from the tournament.
Okay.
Also, I think on night one, Scott Steiner is going to say something offensive in front of the Chikara crowd. That's an easy one.
Yeah, that pays like not even 2-1. That's a bet on Ronda Rousey at the height of her UFC time.
Right. Now, also as the weekend goes on, of course, like people get eliminated from night one and they get moved into night two with the Rateable Adoris tournament thing, the King of the Little Flippy Boys. Then people get eliminated further and they get moved into the Tag Gauntlet or random singles matches that happen during the course of the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
I want to preface this by saying I have no presented notion. No one has tipped their hand to me. I'm just looking at the available talent here. And I'm thinking to myself, what's a match that's never happened, probably will never get a chance to happen, and should happen? So I'm going to go out on a limb and say that on night three of King of Trios, you're going to see the singles match in one of his last 25 matches in 2019. Lightning Mike Quackenbush is going to take on Nick Gage.
Okay.
I'm just throwing it out there. I don't know nothing. Nobody tipped me off to nothing. If anyone gets DMs that says, who fucking stooged this off to Sposto? Nobody stooged nothing off to me.
Mm-hmm.
They're stooging much more important things off to me than a random match on night three of King of Trios. But to say that this was a match that would blow fucking people's mind, you do this fucking match.
Absolutely.
Should have been somebody else, but he's over in Germany. But that's neither here nor there. That got stooged off to me.
Yeah.
I usually get stooged off to me the things that don't happen. It's like, hey, this was supposed to happen.
Okay. Is that all your predictions for King of Trios?
Yep, that's great.
Okay.
You have any thoughts or feelings or whatever is toward Chikara? I know you're not as invested in Chikara as I am.
No, I mean, I want to check it out because, I mean, we've said many times before, King of Trios is what got me into Chikara, or at least, like, got my foot in the door. So I kind of have an emotional investment in those cards. So I'm going to check out at least night three and hopefully more of it. And they always put on a good time, you know. So use our promo code AdOdds to get free 20 days and get yourself watching it.
Right. But that's not all, because not only is that going to be on independentwrestling.tv, next weekend, True Pro Wrestling in our neck of the woods is having their first event in their new building. It's their first event that's going to be streaming live on independentwrestling.tv. It's got some of the biggest names in independent wrestling, like Tony Deppen and Ethan Page and Space Monkey and Kobe Durst wrestling on it. But hey, Adam and I are going to be there live.
Yeah, and I didn't know it was streaming on Independent Wrestling TV, so that's kind of awesome. That's a surprise.
Yes, sir.
So yeah, definitely come and check us out, or not check us out, check out the show and come and say hi to us is what I'm saying. If you see us there, Joe will be there with a John Cena hat and I will be somewhere around lurking. So I'm looking forward to it, man. Like I've been saying, you know, you put an indie show around here and odds are I'm going to go to it. And I'm going to try to get, you know, my Ethan Page Mark photo. That's my goal.
I'm going to be bothered Ethan Page the whole night.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's my buddy. I'm going to give him a hard time.
There you go.
Not during his match, unless, like, that's what the match is supposed to be, right?
If they need a stunt granny, you're all over that match, right?
That's right.
All right.
And then, of course, a little bit later on down the road, we have the Let's Hang Out Spooky Edition. As most of the lineup of who's going to be there has been revealed, the card hasn't been completely released, but we do have the one match officially announced in Solo Darling and Willow Nightingale, the Bird and the Bee, taking on the beefy combo of Rex Lawless and friend of the show. And again, they just call him the Boar. He'll always be the proletariat Boar of Moldova to me. Mm-hmm. So I'm glad that he's booked. I'm sad that it's not going to be him and Big Dan Champion, but I think they got bigger fish for Dan Champion to fry that weekend. And I hear there might even be a movie star there at the event. The man of your dreams, or possibly even your nightmares, is going to be attending the show.
Should I ask now or ask after we get off the air?
Yeah, you can ask after we get off the air.
All right, fair enough. But I've said before, if you hashtag book the Boar, I will be there, so go support our good buddy, and obviously a lot of the folks on those shows. This is my third Let's Hang Out event, and I absolutely love every single one of them. I have not been to one that's been bad, and I'm not just blowing smoke because we have friends on the show, but like, this is a genuine good time. And I know I was kind of doing a little bit of a back and forth on Twitter with whoever's running the LVAC's Twitter account, yes, saying that, because what they're doing is the gimmick where it's $20 entrance at the show, or $15 if you go in costume.
Yep.
And I had said, listen, you're getting the extra $5 out of me. Partially, you know, with the implication being that, like, listen, I'm not getting in a costume. I'm too old for that. But also the spirit of it is, it's like, hey, let me just give you the $20, you know, because if there's something you like, you want to support it, you yeah. know? So, like, obviously that $5 doesn't do much, but I mean, I want to fill that building up with wrestling fans, and you'll have a good time if you do so.
Now, if they take $5 out of my pay, mm-hmm. for not dressing up, then we might have some words, pun intended. But the boys from Pod Van Dam are going to be coming out from Ohio to hang out for the show, and that's awesome. Mm-hmm. And it's not official, but, you know, listen, we're the unofficial podcast of the Let's Hang Out events. The next one after October, if you can't be there, is December 27th. So listen, hey, maybe you're listening to this, you're going to be in the neighborhood around Christmas time, you got some travel time, make your plans now. December 27th at Sokol's in Bethlehem is the next Let's Hang Out after the October one.
I'm going to mark my calendar once we get off here, so.
Yes, indeed.
And if you would like to tweet us and let us know that you're attending any of the shows we just talked about, hit us up on Twitter at Odds Wrestling, or talk to us directly at The Man Adam Van or at Joe Sposto. Also, you can go on longboxheroes.com and leave comments, or you can buy a t-shirt from us from our t-shirt store at tpublic.com. The links are somewhere. You'll find them.
That's right. So a little kinks at first, but I think we got the hang of this. We're going to get the hang of this going forward of the new format of the show that we're doing. But it's still pretty much the same show, which is kind of, you know, a lot going on in wrestling these days, man. We can't cover it all.
Yeah, I mean, I think that if we limit ourselves to just three things like that, it'll keep us from putting up the occasional two-hour show, you know? And if you out there listening to the show, if you have three things you didn't like or three things you liked from this past week in wrestling, you know, tweet at us and let us know.
That's right. I like that. There you go. Get the people involved.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, that's it for our season premiere.
That's right. Everyone, thank you very much for listening to episode 50, what is it, 58? Episode 58 of At Odds with Wrestling. For Adam, this is Joe saying, enjoy some wrestling.
You're listening to the soon-to-be-named network, the Lamborghini of Podcast Network.